I left my sermon up here, and it has since gone missing. It's actually not a joke. It was once, there were a couple of pages up here. Did anybody by chance move them, I'm wondering?
Michelle, I'm going to go pray for you in the back.
Okay. You know, it's funny, this probably does have some application for our lesson today over the missing child Jesus, and today we have the missing sermon of the new preacher. So that's great. And you know, another thing, I feel like most of the time we have the offering after the sermon because, you know, the sermon will come and it'll get you in the mood to where maybe you'll feel like giving a little bit more than when you came in. But today we're having the offering before the sermon, you'll note. So I don't know what is trying to be said, but...
Good news, a great joy for all the people.
Good. And there was much rejoicing.
Good news.
Good.
A sermon has been born to you.
Believe it or not, that was not planned. But that does fit nicely with our text today. I'd actually thought about doing that as a joke this morning, and I decided that that would be a little too much, but then it actually happened, you know, so, wow, this is a great start. I recently heard a story about Jesus disappearing from a church. Apparently, this church had a nativity scene outside of it that was visible from the road every year as part of their tradition. It's a nice thought. People can come by the church and see the infant Jesus with Mary and Joseph, shepherds, angels, and magi all brought together in one scene to reflect upon every year. But one year, on Christmas Day, as the pastor was leaving the church, he noticed that the infant King Jesus was missing from his manger. He was worried that it had been stolen to be vandalized or as part of some kind of practical joke. And then he noticed, way off down the road, a small boy towing behind him a little red wagon. And the closer that this child got, the pastor noticed that there was somebody riding in the cart with him. And it was the little statue of infant Jesus that had gone missing from the manger scene. And so the pastor runs down the road to this little boy pulling his little red wagon, and he asks him, "Why do you have the baby Jesus in your wagon?" The little boy looks down at his little red wagon with its infant king cargo and says in reply, "Well, Pastor, for Christmas this year, I was really praying that I would get a little red wagon. And I made a promise to Jesus that if I got one, I'd give him a ride around the block." That story is cute and it's kind of funny, and we could probably have some interesting conversations together about confusing Jesus with Santa Claus and everything that comes with that. But the story that we see today in the Gospel of Luke is not quite so cute and not quite so funny, at least not if you're a parent, and it sounds a little familiar to you. Luke tells us a story where Mary and Joseph, first-time parents themselves, don't realize that they don't have their very small child with them, and they leave him behind in Jerusalem, go a full day without realizing that he's gone, and then they make off for home without him. Well, this kind of story has been made humorous in the Home Alone movie franchise. Parents, from what I hear at least, usually think that this is not the most exciting of occurrences, at least on their end. And I can tell you, as one who has been a child at one point, that not knowing where your parents are can be quite a distressing event. I guess the good news for parents here today is that if Mary and Joseph accidentally left behind the child savior of the world and left town and went a full day without realizing that he wasn't there, then there's probably some measure of grace that can be afforded to you for leaving your kids at HEB or forgetting to pick them up from school. This story has some value for parents. Keep an eye on your children. But as I sat down with these texts from the lectionary, I couldn't help but wonder and just had to keep asking the question, what does this story have to do with Christmas? You see, we've just heard from Luke about the story of Jesus' birth and how the angels appeared to shepherds in the fields, telling them the glorious news of the Savior. And then the next story that we have is of the young child Jesus being brought to the temple and being identified by Simeon as the source of all hope and as the Savior of the world. That's all very Christmassy. But how does this story fit in with those? I had to sit down and think for a while about what Christmas is really all about. True, it's about the birth of Jesus Christ and the incarnation, God's wonderful and mysterious love coming from heaven to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. But beyond these things we celebrate at Christmas, we also celebrate that as Jesus Christ once came into the world, we hold fast to the promise that he will come again. At Christmas, we celebrate as a people of hope. At Christmas, we profess that this extraordinary thing has happened and that the world will never be the same again. And as I was thinking about these things, it dawned on me. And I said, oh, this story is indeed a Christmas story. But instead of showing us the scenes that we typically remember at Christmas time, Luke paints us a picture of what happens so often immediately after Christmas. Dennis Brasher, in a commentary on this text, asks the questions, where do we go after we have celebrated? After we have heard angels sing and watched shepherds worship, where do we go after the wonder has faded and we have been plodding amid the ordinary circumstances of life? Do we lose the sense of expectation and not really anticipate this child to do anything out of the ordinary? Luke is telling us that story. What happens after Christmas? We too expect Jesus to be in the caravan, simply doing ordinary things like he is supposed to. But the surprising thing is that in this moment after Jesus is born, he's surprisingly nowhere to be found. Where is he? Mary and Joseph spend a full day looking for him in the caravan, a full day wandering back to Jerusalem, and another full day looking for him in town, eventually finding him in the temple. And it is at this point, when they ask him, why are you here, that they give themselves away. You see, even after all of the extraordinary events that Mary and Joseph had witnessed, they forgot that he was no ordinary child, and that this was no ordinary time. Even as a child, the young Jesus is in his father's house, reaching out and meeting the spiritual needs of a people who are at best misunderstood and at worst despised by the world around them, teaching and listening to them in great humility. Jesus is not where we expect him to be. I can imagine what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph when they stumbled upon Jesus in the temple after missing him for the past 3 days. Now, Jesus, you were supposed to be in the caravan, going back home with us. You're not supposed to be here with these people. What were you thinking? Don't you know how worried and anxious we've been? From now on, Jesus, you are to do the things that we expect of you. In this moment where Mary and Joseph seem to forget who they're talking to, it's easy to hear our own voice being added to theirs. How often do we merely expect Jesus to be exactly where we want him, doing exactly the things that we want him to do for the people we want him to do things for at the time that we want him to do those things? This great temptation that you and I face is one that attempts to take the wonderful mystery of Christmas, pack it all up in a box and put it on the shelf where it is supposed to be until it's acceptable to open up the box and decorate our lives with it again. It's the easiest thing, isn't it? After Christmas, the family who's come in from out of town leaves. Those of us who are traveling come back home. We pack up our Christmas trees, put away our nativity scenes, take down the lights from around the house, and we remove all traces of Christmas from our homes. Isn't that what we are supposed to do? I mean, after all, Christmas is something that we've been celebrating in society at large for several weeks already. And it's nice for Christmas to have its place and its time, but after a while, all the songs and all the lights and all the decorations can get a little old. It's time to celebrate the New Year. It's time to make New Year's resolutions and get back to the school and the work. obligations that we have and come back to our ordinary lives and keep Jesus exactly where we expect him to be, in church, maybe in small groups, or in saying grace before a meal. And let's just all agree to assume together that Jesus is going to be exactly where he is supposed to be. Yet these are no ordinary times, and this is not an ordinary child. In fact, the stories of the Gospels feature examples time and time again where Jesus is in precisely the places he is not supposed to be. He is in the house of Zacchaeus and sharing tables with prostitutes and tax collectors instead of dining with the religious people. He's too late to the bedside of Jairus' daughter and too late to be with his friend Lazarus. And the Messiah is not ruling and reigning and freeing his people from the Romans. Instead, he is tortured and condemned and hung from a cross. But it doesn't even stop with his earthly ministry. Jesus makes a point of being exactly where he is not supposed to be even after he dies. The women go to his tomb and he's not even there. The story from Luke is just one story of many stories to follow where Jesus is not where he is supposed to be. It seems as though this Jesus has gotten everything wrong about who he is, where he's supposed to be, and what he's supposed to do. Or maybe we're the ones who are mistaken about Jesus and what he's supposed to be and what he's supposed to do. After Christmas, what becomes of Jesus? Shall we pack him up with the other decorations and return to our ordinary, everyday lives? Christmas is great. But if this is an ordinary event, and if Jesus was an ordinary child, then what's the point of living anything other than an ordinary life? But the good news, again, is that Jesus was no ordinary child. His birth was no ordinary event, and these are no ordinary times. Here at Dayspring, we pride ourselves in being able to keep things sacred and simple. But this should never be confused with being ordinary. Brothers and sisters, it seems that we ought to follow the example of Mary. Of course, not when she leaves Jesus behind at the temple, but after that, where she treasures all of these things in her heart. What happens after Christmas? What happens after this extraordinary event brought with promises of the good news and glad tidings of great joy? We are to be a people who carry Christmas around in their hearts. We are to be a people found in unexpected places with unexpected people, living in unexpected ways and doing unexpected things. Paul gives us some instruction on this, as we see in our text from Colossians this morning. He says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. These instructions that we have received offer us a glimpse of what it means to be people who live in light of Christmas. Our lives have changed forever, and we will never be the same. It seems that people today are still asking the same questions of God that Mary and Joseph did on that day in this story. God, where are you? We have been anxiously looking for you. It's easy to wonder where God is in the midst of hardships, to wonder where he is when the strong oppress the weak, and when we see so many without homes or without food, when we see people living in seemingly hopeless conditions and situations. God, where are you? Many today have given up on being able to find God, and many don't even want to. It's a strange thing indeed to think that when Jesus Christ was born, the entire world changed forever, and almost nobody knew it. And yet today we are tempted to live as though that were still the case. Christmas is something that Christians celebrate, but it's something the entire world needs. We are called to show the world where God is by living in an extraordinary way. God is still at work in this world, and he is still found in the unexpected places. Most people probably don't imagine finding God when they go to work every single day, or school, or when they go to HEB, or when they get a haircut. But if we are living lives of extraordinary calling, then people may just find Jesus in seemingly ordinary places. Christmas is indeed a celebration, and a time for feasting, and a time of remembrance, as well as a time of future expectation. But after Christmas, shall we live as though these are ordinary times, and as though Jesus was an ordinary child? May it not be so in our lives, brothers and sisters. After Christmas, we may not have our Christmas trees up, or our lights, or our decorations, but we carry it with us in our hearts and in our minds. The world changed forever at Christmas time, and today Jesus is still to be found in unexpected places, doing unexpected things with unexpected people at unexpected times. Thanks be to God.